Before this message commences, we would like to apologize for the poor audio quality. Kindly listen carefully and you will still be blessed.
All right, let's begin today from the book of Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please open there with me. Now, we have been speaking on what we call the series called Faith Basics, and a few weeks ago, I began to speak on what I called How to Increase Your Faith. If you are listening to it, it may appear like I don't know what I'm talking about how to increase your faith, but actually I do, and I'm going to, as I'm going on, you will see the things tying together. We are still on faith basics, just like the last two episodes, and today also we are going to talk with a leaning towards having your faith increased. And I said that at the beginning, that what I'm teaching, a lot of it you will find in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Don't ever forget this: what's most important in Christianity is a matter of faith. It is not what you achieved materially. It's not what you achieve outwardly. It's how much your faith is purified that is important when we're talking about our Christianity. And that's why the Bible talks about the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes. Do you understand my point? And that's the most precious thing that men knew outwardly, gold. And the Bible says that your faith is more important than that. Therefore, your faith must be tried so that it might be purified. And one of our favorite scriptures in recent times, book of Revelation chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus was sending a message to the church in Laodicea, and outwardly they were successful. Outwardly they had everything, like we both these days in modern day Pentecostalism. We speak as if our God is a God of cars and mansions and big churches and big buildings. Alright? And now, please don't get me wrong, alright? People tend to swing to extremes. I'm not saying to drive a very nice car is wrong. I'm not saying for churches to have very nice buildings is wrong. But that's not what our God is about. Do you understand my point?
Yes, sir.
Most certainly, that is not what He is about. Alright? Please, it's very important we get that point. That's not what God is about. And therefore, when those people had all those things and they were bragging and they did not have the things that was most important, Jesus said to them that you think you are rich, alright? You think you have need of nothing. He said, but you don't understand that you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. And these are the people that are bragging outwardly that our God is not a poor God. They are bragging that God, their faith has produced a lot of things. And Jesus said, no, that's not what is important. What is important, you have missed out on it. And what's important is the purification of your faith. So when we're talking in Christianity, our faith is what's most important. Please, don't ever forget this. Adversities come in life, they are not big deals. Do you follow my point? Job was placed in there to let us understand that a righteous man can go through troubles. What's most important is that in the midst of his troubles and at the end of his troubles, what did he come out with? A purer faith than he went into that trial with. And all through, he did not deny God. That was important as far as God is concerned. So you can lose things. It's not a big deal. Alright? Material things are one of the least important things as far as God is concerned. Alright? What's most important is our faith and our walk with God. I hope you understand that point. Alright, so that's what we're talking about, how to increase that faith. If it's so important, we must understand, therefore, how to increase it. So we're talking about how to increase that faith, and last week, I said some things which I would like to emphasize again, and say it maybe in a short time, just summarize it, and from there go into it in a deeper fashion. Now, I said we should put the book of Philippians chapter 1, right? Alright, let's read it, then I'll begin to review what I said last time. Where I want to read is very long. I will jump a bit of it. Let's just start from verse 12, and where I am going is verse around 25, 26. So please, let's just together read, spend some time. From verse 12, there's actually one particular verse I'm going for, but let's just read everything. He said, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, I'm reading the New American Standard, has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or the truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let me read that again. That's my most important verse in all this reading. He said that I shall not be put to shame, that's my expectation and hope, in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Please, let me read a few verses again. Verse 20, he said that this is what this is my expectation, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that Christ Jesus, all right, shall even now as always be exalted in my body. Listen to this: whether by life or by what? Death. Whether by life or by what? Death. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is, whichever way, Jesus is exalted in my life. Now, that's very important. The reason why I read this, really, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. We read that last time, that Moses was saying that God is going to go ahead and deliver to you the land, alright? He said, but it is Joshua that he's going to walk through. For that reason, he turned to Joshua and said, be strong and courageous, verse 7. For you shall go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. Please, I want you to understand this. I heard a series on radio then, which I titled Motivation for Living. Please, I want you to, this is what I want to say very carefully. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 11, which we all know very well, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and what? My burden is what? Light. Now, please, there's something I want to bring out today. That's the main cross, what I want to preach towards today. That the lifestyle of Christianity, is something about it. I said something to us last time, alright? That there's a difference between spiritualism and spirituality. Now, I borrowed that word, spiritualism, from John Gillick, but you can understand what I'm saying if I explain it again. What I mean by spiritualism? I said that the realm of the spirit is real. It's practical. It's nothing highfalutin. Do you get my point? If you have never studied physics, if a man who studies physics wants to play you, are you? Do you follow my point? You will think that the man has more sense than you. The fact is that he studies physics and you did not study physics. Do you get the point? If you too study physics, you will know how those things work. That's all. The established laws, you can learn them, practice them, and get the results. Therefore, the fact that something works is not a sign that it is necessarily the active will of God. When I'm the active will of God now, you know that anything that goes up must come down. Doesn't mean you should throw up your egg and it falls down and it breaks. Do you understand my point? Alright, that's what I mean. So, the issue of gravity is the will of God. God wrote the law of gravity and put it into motion. So the fact that something works alone does not just mean that that means that's what God wants us to do. Some things are just basic to life. And spiritual things are like that. I'm saying that again and again. Therefore, if you don't know spiritual things, and a man who knows spiritual things comes and teaches you what he knows, alright, he can bamboozle you and you think he's smarter or better, or you know, he has entered into certain realms and he starts confusing you. That's just because he has tapped into how to use some spiritual laws, just like a man who learned physics and is using those things to bamboozle ignoramus. Do you understand my point? People who don't know are impressed. Therefore, I told you before several times, I picked the books, you know, you can't pick how much, read their books. They practice simple spirituality. There's no big deal. And the first day I encountered the great message, when they finished talking plain, I said, what's all of this plain confusion? You can only confuse those who don't know anything. And you get my point? Listen, some of those things, I'm not saying they are good or anything, but to me, that when I look at men practicing them, like, why are you wasting time? Are you getting my point? Spiritualism oftentimes is what we preach and we claim it works. There's a world of difference between spiritualism and spirituality? I said that last week. Let me not waste all the time now. What is spirituality? And that's my message again for today. Now, every man's labor is for his belly. That's what the Bible says, right? But Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 4, he said, my own food is what? To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his works. Therefore, whatever we are practicing must be for the purpose that God has for our lives. That's what I'm going to bring out here. Now, bear that one in mind. Don't ever forget it. Then I was quoting Matthew chapter 11. I said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There was something my mechanic used to say those days. In fact, somewhere down this road where I don't know why his shop is still there. I don't use the Mercedes anymore. So he was a Mercedes-Benz mechanic. So if he tends to buy a spare part, alright, he had a philosophy. He said that anything the manufacturer makes is easy. So if you trying to change a spare part and they are hammering and hammering, he said something is wrong with what we're doing. That the way they make these cars, it shouldn't be this difficult. They are trying to install something, say something is wrong. That if it's this difficult, something is wrong. And oftentimes it's proved right. And I didn't buy the correct one, you look at it again and say, no, it's not for this particular brand. This is for another one. Then look, I've told you guys, this thing is not supposed to be this hard. The man who manufactured it did not make it to be this difficult. That if you have the right tools, you have the right parts, there should be no suffering on this matter. I never forgot that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now that's how Christianity is. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what?
Light.
Therefore, if anything is appearing difficult, we are not doing what we have been asked to do. Because as a matter of fact, the Lord always supplies grace. Grace is what characterizes Christianity. What is grace? It's when God supplies his own power to help you do what he has asked you to do in life. I like what Chamber said. He said, watch the things that exhaust you. He said, they are the very things that God has not given you grace for. Alright? And that means that you are not walking. I can't put it verbatim now, right? But what he was saying is that means you are not walking in line with what God wants you to do. That if you were walking in line with what God wants to do, as soon as you are getting worn out, that the Spirit of Christ in you will quickly rejuvenate your body again. And you find that you are always refreshed. That when a man is always worn out, he's not doing what he's been asked to do. He's doing something that God is not supplying grace for. What am I saying? Christianity is like that. Jesus said it as a matter of fact. My yoke is easy. And what?
My
burden is light. Now let's talk about that yoke briefly. When you use the word yoke and burden, I like one that Jesus did not say. And you know, I'm happy he didn't say that I don't have a yoke, I don't have a body. Take my yoke. Just open the Bible. I can just look at that so I'm talking about it. Matthew chapter 11. Okay, now verse 29. Alright. He said, come to you all who are weary and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Please, I want you to understand to note that first line. Take my yoke upon you. That is, I have a yoke and you must take it. And you take it by learning from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He said, because my yoke is easy, and my load or my burden is what? Light. Now, this is what I want to understand. That Jesus did not say, I don't have a yoke. He didn't say, I don't have a burden. Are you getting my point? He just said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? It's light. Let me just play add this one to it. The reason why his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, is because when you are carrying it, all right, it supplies you strength to carry it. If you want to weigh literally, it may appear heavier than the one that other people are carrying. The difference is just that his own supplies the grace. But this point I want to bring up, that people are heavy laden, they are having troubles in life. One of the problems they have is that they want to just cast away all the load upon them. Let me explain this to you again. That is a problem in what we call civilization today, the civilized countries, the civilized world. Now, because sometimes religion without the life of Christ appears to a yoke on you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, without the life of Christ, and that's what happened with the Jews here, that the ones Jesus was talking to, they had problems. These are religious people. The laws of Moses were cumbersome for them, alright? And when Christianity loses the flavor, the spirit that Christ has put inside it, the same problem arises. And now, what they did was that they cast away all the yokes that were there without replacing it with the yoke of Christ Jesus. Now, the only thing that leads to it is what? Troubles. I don't want to go down that line explaining that. So all the confusion, I always give it as an example. This is a very good example. Let's take marriage as an example. You know, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, in fact, let me just say it like this. Englishman say you can't have two captains in one boat. You know that. Now, whichever way you look at it, marriage is impossible if the Spirit of Christ is not in there. If you want to live it out the way God expects it to be, it's not possible. You cannot have two co-heirs with Christ. Are you got my point? Both of them with the calling of God in their lives, both of them loving the Lord, and Paul saying in Christ Jesus is neither male nor female. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't have all of that, have full expression of the life of Christ, of the life of God in both people, if you don't have the life of Christ to sustain it. It's not possible. I said it before, what Christianity did, what Jesus did was to liberate people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, alright, to liberate the oppressed, those that are downtrodden, to liberate those who have broken, all those things. You understand my point? So people who were oppressed, Christ liberated them. And one of the most oppressed people on earth before Christ Jesus were women. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. Is that okay? Now, what happens is that you go to countries where Christ liberated everybody. Then they now say that man and woman are equal before God. Amen? Is that a lie? It's not a lie. It's a matter of fact. Then they try to practice that thing without the Spirit of Christ. Now, at the end of the day, divorce 90%. Listen. That is the only way we hate him. There's no other way to go. If you hear that marriages are stable in Asia, why ask women in Asia whether they can talk? No, go and ask. They can't talk. There are women who can't look up at their husband's faces to talk. So the marriages are very stable. Very stable. In fact, the teacher said like this, that when a strong man keeps his goods are safe. Literally means they are undisturbed. If the devil is raining a home, there's no trouble. Everybody's in line. Some of the signs that deliverance has come is strong. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You come down to Africa and do the same principle. Anywhere you see that a woman can talk and be heard, listen, the bus must go up, the rate must go up, except as the Spirit of Christ. Believe me. No, I can't go into details about that now. I'm talking about this issue of taking a yoke. So you can't just take the deliverance of Christ Jesus and not take his yoke. It only leads you to more trouble. I'm telling you, the only thing it gives you is what? Troubles. Let's take the anointing of God. Listen, if God did not make Saul king, he would have lived longer. You would not have known the trouble in that guy's life if he was not killed. That's what I want to understand. I'm a preacher, so I understand these issues. It's like being a preacher. Preachers. I've told you before, their life is short, more than average. It sounds funny. Because if you take that anointing on you, it exposes you to all kinds of troubles. It's like you want to be a policeman. Better go and kill the love of money because you will die early. You know, let me tell you something here. Yeah. I wish you get what I'm saying. There are positions that once you hold, they expose the iniquity inside you and they lead you to judgment. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. That if you didn't hold that post, if they didn't give you authority to be able to stop anything and arrest and lock up the way you like, when you are broke, you will have gone to pray. But now that somebody has given you the power to oppress somebody else, in the time of your affliction, you oppress somebody else and God takes a knife and cuts your head. And that's a problem, I'm telling you, people in ministry. That's why, as a preacher, you have to discipline yourself very well. Because the power that God gives you as you handle His word, it has a serious risk. And you get what I'm saying? That's what happens with the deliverance that Jesus gives. Once He gives people deliverance and they don't drink of His Spirit properly, they enter into more trouble. I realize something. Don't ever forget this. When the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to believers.
Because he's slow to anger. It means he never gets angry. And the people who are slow to anger, you know, they are the ones that are worst in anger. Listen, I'm looking at an issue here. Please don't forget what I'm saying. This Christianity is a matter of fact. I said something to us before. If you leave Egypt, you must enter the promised land. Once you leave Egypt, misbehavior leads to death in the wilderness. If you don't want to die in the wilderness, just stay in Egypt. But once you leave Egypt, my boy, you must perform, behave, align, correct your brain, do everything to go enter that promised land nicely. Otherwise, they bury you in the wilderness. That's how God is. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? I'm not just setting you free for nothing. I put another yoke upon you. What's a yoke? A yoke, literally, what that yoke means, alright, is that when they wanted to plow fields those days or drag load, drag a chariot, whatever it is, there's this harness you put around the neck of the animals. Alright, tie them, whether it's one or two together, barely made of wood. Alright? It's a sign that the animal is walking. Now you get what I'm saying? That's a sign that the animal is walking. So when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, what is saying that you are going to start walking for me? You are going to start living for me. Now that scripture, please let's open the scripture and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what Christianity is. I told that it's different from spiritualism. Spiritualism is when you are operating another level of laws, which are spiritual. You've come to have understanding. And the understanding is a spiritual matter, so people will tell you that even Muslims practice this and it works. I've analyzed it, I've listened to a lot of messages, analyzed it, and realized a lot of things that we teach is pure spiritualism. And I said to us earlier, that's why it appears hard sometimes. That's why. Because when God, like I'm going to bring out here, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Alright? And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That is, I have a yoke. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I have a yoke. Now, when I'm using the knowledge of the laws of the Spirit, and I'm aligning myself with the yoke that Jesus has placed upon my neck, so that my food is now to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, you will discover that everything in Christianity is easy. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't think those who are sacrificing themselves for the gospel's sake were crying as they were doing it. No, they were enjoying it. They were enjoying it. The first time they whipped the apostles, what did they do? They rejoiced. We too. We have been counted worthy. That is, they enjoyed it. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because they were wearing his yoke. That's why the whipping was easy. Now listen, I said something to us before. That if you are taking a step of faith, and it is reasonable, and it's unreasonable to you, what word did I use? Foolishness. Yes. As if you are doing something that's supposed to be faith, and to you it's foolishness. Believe me, it's entirely what? Foolishness. That a man who's observing from outside is the person who calls the acts of faith foolish. The man doing the acts of faith don't think they are foolish. If at any point you think what you are doing is foolish, believe me, it's foolish. The cross was not foolishness to God, you know that. It is to the world observing that I think is foolishness. In the same manner, listen to me. When I'm saying that the yoke of Christ Jesus is easy, it is not of the people observing. The people observing still think it's madness. They think it is heavy. It is the person carrying it that discovers the ease in it. You think when John the Baptist was inside the wilderness, where eating locusts and wild honey and wearing only goat skin, you think he was shivering the cold? Feel like, just do this one because of God. God is not because kind of, if it's not God, people can't rubbish this one. But what's there inside the city, they ensure, may I just there and suffer like this, I just suffer anyhow. Eh? What kind of rubbish is that? No. He will cross his leg, listen to me, and have as much comfort as the man in the palace in his soul. You know, God has able to understand that one. I want to have many things, be able to do many things, but I have discovered everything. That there's no greater comfort in life than the one I have right now. What I told you is a matter of fact. And listen, you are not ready to prosper until you can say that. You see what I said? If you think that when I get to America, life will be easy, you won't get there. That is, you must discover the ease of God inside your soul now. It's all where? In the heart. I'm going to have an issue here. That the yoke of Christianity is only easy to the person who's carrying it joyfully with the will of God in his heart. Those outside will actually think you are very stupid. They will actually think life is hard for you. This is what I have learned. Not to feel sorry for anybody who's making serious sacrifices for the will of God in their lives. Because as a matter of fact, if they are really doing it as a matter of the will of God, as a matter of taking the yoke of Christ Jesus, both of us sleep just as well as one another. That is why the sleep of a wicked man is not easy. That is why in the midst of abundance, his soul is not at rest. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. Because if God doesn't pour rest into you, you can't have rest. No matter what you have outside, you cannot have rest. That's a matter of fact. So please, I'm going to emphasize something here. So you find that the yoke we are talking about, it is the person carrying it that is easy. I'm not going to say that Christianity makes life easier for everybody. Did I say that? No. I'm saying if you locate yourself in the center of God's will for your life, alright, you will discover as much ease as anybody can find in life. And there's nobody on earth that does not have challenges. There's nobody. There's nobody. There's nobody. Some people think that people like Gates, what they worry about? He's worried about the future of Microsoft. You don't know that. You think the hunger is only worry in life? Hunger is one of the smallest worries in life. There are worries that are worse than hunger. Do you follow the point I make? So everybody has worries in life, alright? But the man who's bearing the cross of Christ Jesus, carrying the yoke of Jesus in his life, you discover that indeed the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Now listen to this. There's 7 verses at the 5. Let, I want to read something here. It's just one verse I want to read, 2 verses. 15 is what I want, but I like to read the context. So for the love of Christ controls us, having completed this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now please notice that this is the yoke of Christ Jesus. That when a man carries his yoke, Paul was explaining, he no longer lives for himself, but he starts living for the person who died and rose again on his behalf. Let's go back to where I was before. I said that spiritualism, let's ever forget that. A lot of those things we practice is pure spiritualism. This might sound controversial, but let me say so that the controversy can start. We used to practice things like this. Write this on the wall. Focus on it. You get my point? It was very popular in one book those days. If you want a kind of car, take a photograph of it, describe it in detail, put the 20 points concerning it on the wall, and everything be looking at it and reciting it and reciting it. And people tell you it works. That's how I got my house. That's how I got my car. That's how I got my wife. That's how I got my shoe. That's how I got my visa. That's how I got my anything I want. Alright? And we say it works. I see that's the proof of its authenticity. Alright? Now, I said something earlier. There's nothing wrong with it. It works. But like the man, listen, who practiced 20 years so as to be able to walk across the river. Jesus said that whatsoever you shall ask, that's how Christians get it. You have not because you ask not. Anything that includes painting a picture on your wall and worshipping that image every day is not Christianity. I said it sounds controversial. Because you hear preachers preaching every day. You put it there and start focusing. And start focusing. Don't let your eyes deviate. Confess. Confess. Call it to be. It's plain spiritualism. How Christians get things, they do what? That's the end of it. That is Christianity. That's why you go and check. You know, I did an analysis some time ago. That's why most of these Eastern religions don't have a personal God. What I mean, you know, like, you talk about Buddhism. Buddhism is not a God, really. Not a God. No. He was a teacher who showed them a path, do you understand, to what they call enlightenment. And they are trying to follow the path towards that enlightenment. They don't really worship, really. You know, you may see acts of worship, but if you go into their teachings, there's nothing like, there's no relationship with anybody. That is where only Islam comes close to Judaism and Christianity. All other religions, the ones that have any God there, they have 25,722 of them. That's because I came up with it arbitrarily. I hope you know. Are you following my point? Yes. When I study all the, whether it's Buddhism, whatever it is, all those Eastern religions, they do practice all forms of spiritual laws. And believe me, they work. They work. They work. But in Christianity, I can paint a picture on my wall for all I care. I'm fine. You know what I mean? You can do any repaint. But indeed, God has a will. And you get my point? That's the difference. I can say, okay, this is the kind of woman I want to marry. This height, this complexion, this shape, this state of origin. When you finish all of that, God says, listen, before you were born, I knew you. And I appointed your wife. You want a woman from Imo State, there's one from Kaduna. That's the one I appointed. Are you getting my point? Say, write Imo on your wall all you want. You will marry from Kaduna. Unless you want to marry out of my will, and listen to this, many Christians have married out of the will of God. Therefore, don't come and confuse me with the testimony. That is exactly how I wanted it to be. And it should be 5 foot, 7.265 inches. And on the colorimeter, her complexion will reach. So you can see on the colorimeter, this is how she will look like. You can describe anything if you want. And this is exactly what I wanted, and I put it like that. You know what I found out these days? It does not impress me. I always like to give example because see, I read another scripture, so follow something here. As a matter of fact, God has the will for the life of Christians, for their lives. And that includes who they are going to marry. And that's why the Bible says it clearly. And let's stop behaving stupidly. You know what I'm stupid? When Jesus said, don't do it, he said, it doesn't matter, we can do it. He said, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Therefore, don't put physical characteristics on your wall. The Bible says it's deceitful, and not only is it deceitful, it is vain. So if you have to put something on your wall, try, forget your wall. Write on your heart before God. Say, Lord, you will give me a wife who fears the Lord. Mm-hmm. I always say something. God knows you more than you know yourself. He loves you more than you love yourself. He has better plans for you than you can imagine. In fact, Paul said it clearly. He's able to do exceedingly far above all we can ask or imagine. Your diagrams of the world are limitations of the plan of God concerning your life. They are limitations. They are limitations. They are limitations. There are limitations. There are limitations. Oh God, God's helping me. Because for a long time, all we preach and practice and preached is spiritualism. And we bragged on the results thereof. I wanted a house like this. I continued to confess it and I got it. It's spiritualism. That's not spirit. It's not Christianity. It's not spirituality. I didn't say it's sin or iniquity. That's it. I didn't say it's wickedness. I just said it's inferior to the plan of God. It is. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. That is, if your name is Moses, if you like, imagine an incubate palace. From now till tomorrow, I'm kicking you into the wilderness. That is, do all you want concerning imagination and incubation. That is Buddhism. That's not Christianity. Christianity is that, oh boy, and that's what I said to Joshua. I have a purpose for your life. You are going to help these people inherit the land. That's it. All your imaginations and incubations and calculations must be towards helping these people to what? Inherit their land. That's all. I'm telling you, that's what Christianity is. Therefore, when we walk with a sense of purpose. That's what point I'm coming to. I'm not about to increase your faith. Remember what we read from Joshua? He talked about courage. Courage comes from Joshua. Listen, that's what I'm going to bring about a matter of grace. You need courage to triumph in life. Do you get my point? Courage will be difficult for you if you are not following God's order, God's plan. It will be difficult to resist temptations if you are not in the place where you are supposed to be. Why? Because this is Christianity. It's called grace. Grace is the power that God pours into you to do that which is pleasing to Him. Therefore, if you are not in a place where He wants you to be, He won't pour grace for you to do anything. And don't ever forget something I say all the time. People get results even if they are not working with God. Because God said to Adam, from the sweat of your brow, what will you do? You will eat bread. So if a man eats bread, it's not a testimony. God has said that if you sweat hard enough, you will get bread. That's the word of God. I like to quote J.P. Getty all the time. One time, the richest man in the world, he said, how do you make money? He said, it's simple. Get up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, that is not the will of God, but it works for him. It worked for him so well, he became the richest man in the world. He rose up early, went to bed late, and he struck oil. But God said, it's vain for a man to rise up early. It is vain for a man to rise to close meat. Eating the bread of hard labor, sorrows, he calls it. He said, because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. So if your life is not dotted with testimonies of what you got while you were sleeping, I don't want the story. That is not the life of Christianity. If you spend money and night focusing on the rubbish you have written on your wall and you finally got it, I'm not impressed. David was just shepherding sheep, and an old man showed up in his father's house and anointed him king, and David went back to the sheepfold. That's Christianity. Are you getting my point? Joseph dreamt dreams, and for your information, he did not know the meaning of the dreams. He just woke up and told the dream. And men who were older than him, his older brothers and his parents, understood the dream, and they said, what kind of thing are you seeing? Are you getting my point? Let's stop talking such nonsense. And the man, don't think people say that Joseph had a dream and they focus on his dream. Focus, they never beat it, they focus on him. And they send those slavery, you forget the dream. Okay, slavery, okay, you recovered. You are still a slave, but at least you recovered. Then they throw you into the dungeon, you forget the truth. I don't think he was a superman, he wasn't. All that kept him was the righteousness that was inside his heart, which was what sent him into prison in the first place. And that allowed the dream of God to manifest in his life. Listen, if Pharaoh had said to Joseph, tell me your own dream, you know, it was Joseph that told Pharaoh, tell me your dream, no reason. Let us assume Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell me your dream, he would have said, I'm supposed to be ruler in my father's house. Is that all you want? No, I don't care. Give him a number of camels, some horses, some goats, some animals, some goods. Yeah, send it to the father's house. That's it. His dream has been fulfilled. But good enough, Pharaoh did not say, what's your dream? Pharaoh did not even know about all this dreaming issue. He just woke up one day and the dream was such a... You know, there are some dreams that just pop to you. You know, his dream was so real, it was a bother to his soul. And when he got the interpretation, he knew when the interpretation was correct. Nobody could deceive him. And that led Joseph into a dream bigger than what he ever imagined. Because as a matter of fact, all he dreamt about was that his brothers would bow down to him. That also. He never dreamt that Egyptians would bow down to him. He never dreamt that he would have the power to lock up all the household of Pharaoh if he wanted. All the rulers in Egypt, the Bible made it clear that he was at liberty to bind them at will. He never dreamt that. Please, that's the difference between spirituality and spiritualism. All our spiritualism is nothing but capping the ability of God in our lives. How do we get things as Christians? He said, pray, ask. Don't focus on any diagram on your wall. Don't worry about it. Pray and leave the matter. In due season, God will bring it. But concerning your everyday work, say, take my yoke. That's what I'm coming to you. I was talking about the supply of grace. Faith without faith is impossible to please God. Alright? And I describe in that book, great faith can be yours. That great faith is, again, a supply of the Spirit. And we read from Galatians chapter 5 before. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we said, how do we walk in the Spirit? Okay, talk about sowing seeds. He said the fruit of the Spirit. He talked about it and I explained that the fruit of the Spirit means that when you sow your seeds into the realm of the Spirit, Are you getting my point? You sow your seeds into the realm of the spirit. You will from there reap certain attributes inside your own soul. What I mean is this. A man who was not kind. Let me tell you something about Christianity. I just want to say this briefly. You know, I'll get back to what I was saying now, but that's not what I want to say. These days, every day I see things. I get to understand life more. You know, my wife had a small experience yesterday in the market. You know, it's a small thing. But all those small things, I bring out lessons from them. An old man tried to defraud her. That's the point I'm just saying. It wasn't big fraud. It wasn't 10,000 naira fraud. It wasn't even 1,000 naira fraud. It was maybe like 500 naira or 200 naira fraud. Alright? She bought eggs from him. The thing fell down while she was not looking. And some broke, of course. Maybe the crate was in the bag or something. So she just said that she didn't notice it, but she knew that something was a bit out that did one break. Mother had no problem, just take one free one. Try to dash her a free one. But she probably said that no, this bag feels uneven. Let's check something about it. So brought out the eggs and found that seven of them were broken. Now, this is what lesson I'm bringing up from it. She was not looking when nothing happened. And the old man, who was manning the shop, knew that she had broken eggs that was selling to this young lady. And so that she wouldn't check, try to give her more free egg. Hey, don't do my wife. I said, you see why prosperity they had that blah, blah. That's where I'm going to. That's where I'm going to. I said, prosperity could have the man. That is, you see, it appears like a small thing. And I keep on saying this to that Christians, as you do business, be careful that you don't walk in what the Bible calls the deeds of the flesh. Let me tell you how that old man should sow to the spirit. If you're a believer, this is how you sow to the spirit. Even though she did not know, as she's going, say, madam, please stop. That bag fell just now. Did they tell you? No, please, let's check to be sure that your eggs are not broken. How many do you have in there? 30? Oh, sorry, 10 of them are broken. Let's replace them. You've lost money. But that is called sowing to the spirit. There's a man I have a quarrel with, alright? That's a quarrel, and that's why I'm fighting, but I'm supposed to have a kind of business that you can buy something from him. And the way he's behaving, I told my wife, I said, you know this guy's problem? He only thinks of himself. That everything that has been our points of contention, you will see that they've just been points in which he's only thinking of himself. And let me say, this is Christianity. Now, I said at the beginning, let's get practical. True religion, James said, is to visit the sick, visit the prisoner. True religion is to be kind. True Christianity is not to watch out for yourself alone. Charles Finney used to preach to businessmen those days and said that the job of a businessman is to try and make the other person prosper. Listen, any business in which you cannot actively bless other people, forget it. It's not a good business. It's not. Because you are not sowing into the realm of the spirit. If you cannot identify a problem you'll be solving for people, do you follow my point? Then forget it. I'm not saying it doesn't make money. Listen, this is worldliness. Worldliness is when we think about business only as it profits us. What's the new thing? Making money. You don't think about what skills do I have to bless people. I discussed this in a radio then when I'm talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. I said, what's a job? A job is the opportunity I have or the door I have open to me in which I can use my skill to be a blessing to somebody else. A job is not defined by how much money I earn. It's how much impact I'm making in the lives of people. I hope you're following what I'm saying. I hope you're getting what I'm making. When we talk about sowing into the realm of the spirit, it said in Galatians 5:22, they said, the fruit of the spirit. I explained that what he said is that you must put a seed, okay, into the first field of the spirit realm. And I said to us several times, and no, I won't stop saying it. I know you're tired of hearing it, but it's your problem. I will continue doing this. If you say yes, this 5,000 naira is a seed towards my car, you have sown selfishness. He that sows to his flesh, from his flesh, reap corruption. That's what the Bible says. Because you have not given. Do you get my point? You have invested. God loves a cheerful giver, not a cheerful investor. There's no world of difference between the cheerful giver and the cheerful investor. One day, man was preaching. You can give and give and give and give your way to salvation. And some former Nairo and crooks and ran to the front. And one of my sisters was, they are thieves. They are still sowing to the flesh. That's not what I call sowing to the spirit. Sowing to the spirit is that, listen, this business deal will bless me. It will get me money. But it will hurt somebody else. So I don't want it. One day, a friend of mine was going to a church, and you know all these times, well, you know they call pyramid schemes, which is a criminal offense in America. In Nigeria, I think some of those folukukus that just pass. Alright? So he said in his church, then his pastor wanted to start something like that. Now, please, I don't mean the pastor is a bad person. He just didn't know. The law can work in ignorance. Do you get my point? He can be doing things that are not right. Alright? So that's why we have to keep learning. So it was on the committee, they had called the meeting, how they are going to go about it, the scheme, you know. Because they were just gathering money and all of that. So they said it's a good business, so he told the man, the preacher there. He said, no, I don't think it's a business. He said, it's not a good business in which somebody, he said, there's what he said it, that once there's a victim, it's not a business. Their business is supposed to bless everybody. Are you getting my point? Their business is supposed to bless everybody. For example, when your man came this morning, I told him to pay him some money. What did he do? For that business. Our website has issues. Do you understand my point? And we called him and said, this is the issue. And he solved it. And for solving it, we have to give him some money. He's blessed. We are blessed. That's business. We have gained. He has gained. That is business. So my friend said, told the man that day, I said, listen, in this scheme we are doing, the last set of people that will enter are all going to be victims. You know the way it is, pyramid scheme. That's why people have tried to sell it to me before. The day man that is like, hey, okay, Pastor Frank, you can do this. You have a network connection to be able to do it. Look at it, I'm making half a million a month, 1 million naira a month. Then I said, okay, it's a pyramid scheme. You can tell me, see, that man, that is a house. He joined early, that's how he built it. I said, listen, my friend, it's a pyramid scheme. The money he used to build that house, about 1 million people will lose it. I don't know where I get my point. Without getting anything, they will have false hopes, false everything. So I said, because I understand that somebody is going to get defrauded along the line, I am not interested. Don't entice me with what I am going to get. Listen, if you are doing business as a Christian, bring out something. Christianity? This is what Christianity is. Christianity is not offering giving. I hope you don't mind me telling you this thing, because I know you hear the opposite so much. You need somebody to beat your head back into the alignment. You know there are some heads that are out of alignment. You know they call alignment? Some heads are out of alignment. So we need to move in the other direction. Christianity is righteous living. And I'm bringing an issue here about good works and Christianity. That is how we sow seeds into the realm of the spirit. Now, let me not disconnect that from what I was talking about. God has a will. The fact is that in your everyday work, God has a will. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And your faith is going to increase as you align yourself with the purpose and the plan of God. And there are two sides to it. Number one, there is Christ-likeness, which we talk about all the time. God wants to form Christ in you. So when you are walking, it's as if Christ is the one walking. And secondly, he wants to through you do some things on the earth. Wealth in life is not calculated. This Christianity I'm discussing is not to be calculated according to what I have. There's a difference between what I have and I possess and is mine. So rest, you have miles, good leisure. No, there's a difference between that and what I control. Christian wealth is what I control. I don't know whether you get what I'm listening. For example, let's assume I build up a few enterprises. All right, we deliver services to about 2 million people, and we have like 10,000 people on our staff. As long as it is written as mine, righteousness prevails in them.
Are you getting my point? I'm not going to send a young girl wearing a short skirt out to go and meet target because I'm running a bag. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, I won't do that. What I'm saying, this is how Christianity is, alright? So if I control something, alright, it must show in every fiber of my enterprise that this is how things are done here. That's wealth as a Christian. It's not how much money I have to oppress other people. No. It's how much impact I can achieve for Christ on this earth. And you get what I'm saying? So this is what I'm talking about, increasing our faith. No, let me not digress too much from it. So whatever it is we are doing in life, God pours forth grace. One of the problems we have, why grace is not poured, is because we don't have that sense of purpose when we are walking. People think Christianity is just that you believe God for anything. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is not just I believe God for anything. Let me establish something to you. That's why you have believed God for things you have declared this year it shall come to pass. That was 3 years ago. And somebody calls you and says, what happened was that when you were confessing, which direction of your room were you facing? So I was facing towards the door. Ah, I said, why should you face the door? You know, somebody can open the door and interrupt your concentration. So right now, what they are going to put the confession inside the closet and close the door on it. And what are you confessing? Homer. Forgetting that GM will soon stop making Homer. He said, you want the Homer? No one. You are going to hammer. Say amen. Amen. And then you are going to buy Homer after that. Amen. Amen. You can't take a photo of Homer inside the wardrobe. And the angel are saying, is it not that car we saw GM discontinued? That in the realm of the spirit, they already saw it on the earth. It was going to take place maybe after 2 years. So on the earth, in the heavens, they are seeing that after 2 years, GM will stop making this thing. So why is that boy confessing about it? There is an idiot. Leave him. And he's thinking that his faith, the problem is that they have misinformed him that spirituality is faith. No. Faith is that I understand that God has a purpose. Very important. Faith is that I understand that God will supply everything that I need. Faith is that I understand that if any desire comes to my heart, I pray about it and I don't make it a preoccupation. Because Jesus said simply, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness means practical things. When you see the word righteousness in the Bible, it's practical. He said, he that doeth righteously is righteous. It's all about righteousness by faith. I said, as far as God is concerned, faith is an active work. Yes, it is. Because in the course of your faith, there are decisions you make that show that you did have it. Let me give an example. See, I don't know, this example just came to my mind, because I think about when I meditate, some of this come to my mind, alright? Let's assume that I say that I've been redeemed from the curses of the ancestors, amen? I've been redeemed from the curse that's upon Ham, all the descendants of Ham, all them Canaan, Cush, Put, Mizraim, all the misbehaviors of African men have been redeemed from the curses. Do you understand? Now listen to this. I say I believe it. I say I believe it. When I'm praying, I confess it. Then, for me, I'm a businessman, or I'm a university teacher, I'm a government official, whatever it is. I'm based in the city, okay? Then a man, a colleague of mine, listen to this. A colleague of mine, who's earning a lot of money, doing good business, suddenly wakes up one day and says he wants to shed off the encumbrance that this business and this job is to him. And I ask him why. He says, so that I might go into this particular country and go and teach them this liberating gospel of Christ Jesus. That country is in decadence. Where I want to go to Haiti. I want to go and preach. There's a calling of God upon me to go and preach. Listen. Now, you know, I said I believe the gospel that I have been delivered. If I sit that man down and say, you know, you have to think about your wife and your children. Why waste time? These things, don't just worry yourself. Once I say that, I have confessed in heaven, I don't believe that gospel. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Because if I had HIV, alright, and Frank and Pepper came to give me free drugs, and I'm well, and Frank now said that now that you have been well, we want to travel to another country to go and give them free drugs to kill their own HIV.
What will I have? I will have said, I think you should go quickly. Do you know why? Because indeed, I believe in the remedy. So if I tell a man who wants to go and preach, not to bother, I have declared that I don't believe in that remedy. No matter what I'm claiming, I really don't. If indeed, you see, this is not about giving. People talk about giving. It's not about giving so you can get. Forget that. If indeed I believe in that remedy, and I know those people hate it, need it as much as I do, or more than I do, because the kind of wahala all these purpose they get, they need it more than I do. Not only should I encourage him by words, I should encourage him financially. I should speak to him now, what about your wife and your children? What's going to happen? Are you going with them? And he says, no, I have arranged to my wife and my children will stay back from the second world. If there's any problem at home, let them call me. That's a sign, do you get my point? That I believe in that gospel. If I don't support that gospel that he's going to preach, then I'm saying that no matter how much I raise and wave my hands, I truly don't believe in it. That's why faith, correct? It's righteousness is by faith. But faith, God sees faith as a matter of works, because every day you make decisions that show that you have it. So I tell my wife, we were discussing, one of the things I've come to understand, take business as an example. If business goes down today, you know, it's going up, your one day goes down. If you start getting agitated, you are told God, I don't have faith. What you are saying is that I don't have it. Because if indeed you have it, it's a matter of season. It's a season that's right. It's a season. Another season is coming. You just declare boldly and you continue going. What am I saying? Christianity is about righteous works. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. Yes, that's what it is. And the sowing of seeds into the realm of the Spirit is as we do the true works of Christianity. The man is a businessman and is a believer. He is forbidden absolutely from lying. Alright? I'm saying anything he said. I keep on saying the reason why God has not closed those who sell faith down is because Christians have not been bold enough to insist on doing things that are genuine and right all the time. If God will close every line in the market down after he has established your righteousness. What I mean is that you will have gone to testing, you will have gone to trying. And you get my point? Now, as you listen, Christianity is not just about what I can. It's not at all about what I can get. It's about living life as a mission. And you get my point? And as I do the things that I reflect, that I understand that my life is a mission, what I am doing is I'm sowing seeds into the realm of the Spirit. That's from where I now read all those things that the Bible talks about. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The capacity to love more is pouring into me as I use the little that God has given me. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Greater faith is pouring into me. Do you get my point? The problem we have, why people confuse the works of Christianity, alright, is that they think that when we talk about Christian work, it's about coming to church and sweeping floor. And you get my point? I hang it around pastor and say, yes sir. God bless you, sir. They think it's about not going to work, but going to church. There's a woman who works for us at home. She likes to come and take permission that they have prayer on Wednesday in the morning, say, for in our church. So, obviously, you're a church of layabouts. Yes. Every Wednesday morning, either they fix track of where they work. Those have faith events. And they feel righteous to come and take permission. Every Wednesday. That's the problem we have. We think that's Christian works. No, that's not what Christian works is. Christian work is a man goes into his business. Listen, there's a way he talks to clients. Listen, there's no reason. There's no reason why every Christian should not be known for his integrity. There's no reason. Why should I want to defraud somebody? Why should I tell somebody I have paid the money I have not paid? Why should I buy something telling that I'll pay next week when I know no money is coming? You know, there are those who do it. What are you paying next week? The guy is not expecting money. I have seen people who went, say, like, let me have it. Let me send your staff to follow me to the office. I give them money in the office. No problem. Let them follow me to the office. I'm going right ahead in the office. And the person drives by that office. When the people come to say, my dad said, oh, you should come and collect money from your guy. He said, my guy has not been here for 2 days. That is sown to the flesh. From that flesh, what the Bible calls corruption. know what's corruption? Corruption is not in hell, it's on this earth. Corruption is that business will die. Corruption is that one day you go and drop 3 million naira in cash. And robbers will come, boza. Hand over. They are agents of God coming to punish you for the iniquity that you did last week. Sometimes not last week, it's 3 years ago, you forgot. There are things Christians are not supposed to do. You know, I don't know why we need to say it, but we need to say it because Christians are doing that. Listen, let me tell you. Every time you deceive somebody, defraud somebody, alright, cheat somebody out of his money, it's called sowing to the flesh. Christian or not, you from that flesh people the Bible calls what? Corruption. Just watch. You see that the Christian house is born first. Because they are the ones that God goes after. Ah, you don't know. After you don't see for everybody, you go take and build house of village because you know how. You know the way God does it? They will sell sand as cement. You won't know. They don't color the cement. God will ensure that's the one they use for your own foundation. 2 days to dedication of the building, the rain will fall. You know, say, plenty of godly erosion, do that, and Abraham's thing, very good. You all wash a bit of your foundation, come out. The whole house will come down. It's the annoying part. They start praying. All my enemies that said I wouldn't make progress. Holy Ghost, fire. Then the shock and this fire Lagos. Because because that is the enemy that said he would not make progress. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I've said no more things to be alright. I was still done. You know, separate them. I've said many things together, but there are too many things I have said. Number one, I emphasize the issue again, alright? That spirituality and spirituality are not the same. Alright? What happens, alright, is that we misinform ourselves, thinking that we have picked up a few spiritual laws, alright, and that's Christianity. No, that true spirituality is that I understand that it's not just I just claim something. I know that indeed God has a will. Are you getting my point? Indeed, God was, has a will. God has a will. And I said, this is how we continually sow our seeds into the realm of the Spirit. It's simple. I've said it before, I'm just emphasizing it again today. It's a matter of works. It's a matter of works. And the works we are talking about is not just showing works, works around church. No, it's about everyday lifestyle that God gives you the opportunity to do good and refusing to do evil. Because life gives you the opportunity to do evil. And I say every time you do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, you are sowing to the flesh. These are fundamental things about Christianity. Good works. Do you understand my point? It's Christianity. Let's never forget it. You know, Gabriel called me today. And said one thing that excited me about this last hour, that when I went for a convention, alright, I wasn't around last Saturday, is that they said a lot of people came with gifts for people. No, one brother and his wife came with CDs and they were sharing to people. One sister came with a lot of gifts for children. You know, my wife found some gifts for some people, you know. He said that, and I said that, did anybody discuss it? He said no. Are you getting my point? That it didn't just, you know, it just spontaneously just sprang up in the hearts of people. I said, That's Christianity. It's unfortunate these days we're not in the way, you know, Pentecostal. You know, say I did that the largest group of crazy people right now that God has is weak because that's with the grace for head. Plenty, you know. Our madness is unsurpassed in the history of Christianity. That's what I think. I think the Orthodox people, Catholics and Anglicans, right? They have more sense than us. Much more sense. They do. They still, listen, you can quarrel with Catholics, and you know I do, for a number of religious practices that they have. But one area you can't beat them is social services. You can't. Young men and young women will still abandon their relatives, travel to far countries to go and teach primary school. And they will teach it for decades. And they are not tired. Pentecostals want to prophesy them out of that good work. And said, God is a God of abundance. If you just show a sheep right now, you will leave that place and come to the city. Did the man tell you, look, Poverty is a bad thing. People who have a poor, they are light. Those are men who know how to do ministry. It's not that, you know, poor people, poor their lives, not entitled to, not entitled to bishop. It means they have to buy 7 chips to prove to everybody that he's not a bishop. You know, poverty is a terrible thing. And you know, it's not poverty of cash. It's poverty of what? Mind. The Lord is good. What am I saying? Listen, let's forget that our mentality of business and our misbehaviors. It is still the right thing to take care of orphans. Are you getting my point? It is still Christianity. Jesus said that when they said that when did we see you and we did not take you in? What was the problem? He said, one of the things he said was that I was in prison, you did not visit me. Do you get what I'm saying? I said, look, it annoys me. When I watch TV, I'm patrolling and telling that the dog, they sank a borehole in Africa, in Nigeria. Prank, in Nigeria. You sank a borehole in Nigeria. Nobody Rolls Royce overtake me to the one at the go house. He sank a borehole where we are driving Rolls Royces. You came from America to Singapore over us. We really decrease. How much is a borehole? Now, don't say you sink a proper borehole. 250,000 naira. No, we don't do it. We build big churches. I'll be very happy. Are you getting my point? Now, my friends say that you have big churches and we have nice cars and nice suits and all of that. But we brag about them. That's what irritates me. We brag. We brag about things that are nothing. Yet, we don't get to this. This is Christianity. To go to school, you're a student. Your father has money. He gives you money. You get and say, I have friends who come to school by faith, not by faith. Yes. So that when I reach there, yeah, I'm supposed to eat this famous. Let's take a meal and eat it together. That's Christianity. That is still Christianity. It's not that we do things that are convenient for us. To inconvenience ourselves so that we'll be a blessing to somebody else is Christianity. That's why I talk about that. You know, we'll start reading Paul. No, I'm not even referring to him. Go and see what Paul said. He said, whether it's by my life or by my death, what matters to me is that Christ is glorified. That's why I read that. That whatever it is, in what I am doing, that is how you sow seeds in the realm of the Spirit. It is not that I did a deal. Let me say that again, as Christians. It's not that I did a deal and made money. That's Christianity. Come and testify, praise the Lord. Last year, I was broke. This year, I'm not broke anymore. God said, no, I thank God you were broke last year. And thank God to say you're not broke. Let's now hear the details of how you stop being broke. That is where my testimony is. I hope you are getting my point. That is my testimony. That process. How did I bless you? Or you have gone to join to, you know, yourself to strange people. Because when you do, you join yourself to strange people as Christians, it's the easiest way to make money. Yes, it's the quickest way. I shared something with my fellow ministers because in our convention we went for, we had the ministers meeting for that, like the first Wednesday evening, Saturday morning, before the main convention, Saturday evening. We shared some things. I said, listen to this. It's frightful if a minister listens to this. Most people that you celebrate as preachers who suddenly broke through, not all, most, they began to break through when they agreed finally to walk out of the will of God. That was the point of their prayer.